Leaving while pregnant, he goes crazy. Chapter 21. Before Diana finished speaking, a young girl emerged from the examination room behind her. Mom. At the sound of the girl's tender voice, Diana's smug features softened drastically. Eva looked toward the source of the voice and immediately recognized the girl as Paula Robinson, Diana's daughter. With a medical report in her hand, Paula looked so pale, indicating she perhaps wasn't feeling well. Diana, who had been mocking Eva, abruptly turned and pulled Paula away. Their hurried footsteps gave them away. Eva, however, never had the inclination to pry into others' private matters, so she didn't pay any attention to it. Within moments, Diana returned alone, probably having arranged care for her daughter elsewhere. She approached Eva again, her face showing unwarranted malice that didn't suit her well-maintained visage. "Miss Hansen, I think you should know what to say and what not to say." Eva had anticipated her return. A faint smile curled the corner of her lips as she gently tossed her hair and spoke softly, "It depends, Mrs. Robinson. If someone makes me uncomfortable, it may cause mental confusion, and my tongue isn't easily tamed." It was obvious that Paula was here for an abortion at this clinic. Upon hearing this, Diana gritted her teeth, her face distorted with fury. "Eva, how dare you threaten me?" Diana seethed. "Not at all. It's just an exchange," Eva retorted calmly. Diana glared fiercely. "The trouble you're in is far greater than Paula's." Eva replied nonchalantly, "Are you sure? If I'm not mistaken, Paula is not of age yet, right?" Diana clenched her fists and glared at Eva, wishing she could lash out at the fragile yet beautiful face before her. She had thought that the significant news she had learned could devastate the Blackwood family. She had never been fond of Margaret's success compared to hers. Why should everything come so easily to Margaret? Yet at the critical moment, her own daughter had intervened and ruined her plans. The vexation was evident on Eva's face as she saw Diana reluctant to leave. Coupled with her own accumulated fatigue, she had little desire to engage further with Diana, and she dismissed her, "If it's too hard for you to bear, feel free to spread the word. At least Paula will be with you. You won't be lonely." "You?" Diana exclaimed. Eva closed her eyes and said in a cold voice, "I'm tired, Mrs. Robinson. Please go ahead with your business." She paid no attention to Diana's reaction. Whether Diana was fury or perhaps grinding teeth, it didn't concern her anymore. A few seconds later, Diana left furiously. Eva finally breathed a sigh of relief. Those words were a deterrent, nothing more. Even if Diana really exposed her secret, she had no intention of saying anything about Paula. Many young girls at that age were naive about love and easily deceived with unstable ideas about the future. Paula had already been hurt, and Eva would never inflict further hurt upon her. 2 minutes later, Emily returned. "I got sandwiches, oat milk, and some candy. There's not much in the vending machine, but have these for now." Emily unpacked the food and handed it to Eva. "Eat up." Eva looked at the considerate Emily with a warm smile. "Thank you." Emily shot back a glance sharper than her tone. "We're best friends. Why should we thank each other? But if anyone should be grateful, it should be me. Without you, I might not have made it to college." Eva smiled and said nothing. Their friendship began in high school, and they were accepted to the same university. But that summer, Emily's father gambled away their savings and incurred debts that reached their doorstep, pushing Emily to consider dropping out of school to work and pay them off. Upon learning this, Eva settled the debts and escorted Emily to the university herself. While Eva mused over these memories, Emily floated into her own reminiscences. After snapping back, Emily said earnestly, "Do you know how grateful I am to you? Without your help, who knows where I'd be right now, probably hounded to death by debt collectors. You're not just my best friend. You're my savior. I'll never forget that." Eva should have been pleased, but Emily's words led her thoughts to Adrian. Perhaps he felt the same about Vivian. Looking at Emily, Eva ventured, "Would you marry me if I were a man?" Emily blurted out, "Of course, I would. If you were a man, I'd definitely pursue you. But you're a woman, so we can only be friends." Eva lowered her gaze, a melancholic glimmer in her eyes. Adrian must think the same. People indeed developed a special affection for those who aided them, especially lifesavers. "What's wrong?" Emily blinked blankly. Soon she seemed to grasp something and her face changed drastically. "Honey, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it that way." Emily was well aware of Adrian and Vivian's past and had frequently discussed it before. How could one confuse life-saving gratitude with romantic feelings? Ridiculous. She believed it firmly yet had answered Eva thoughtlessly. "Honey, don't get me wrong. I said that because I think you're a good person." "You?" "Yeah," Eva nodded with a trace of melancholy. "He probably thinks Vivian is a good person too." Emily was at a loss. She didn't mean to trigger Eva's sorrow. Chapter 22. Eva had no appetite, but at Emily's urging, she reluctantly finished the milk and took a few bites of the sandwich. Seeing that she couldn't eat any more, Emily stopped pushing. After tidying up, she sat back down. "How are you feeling now?" "Better, right?" "Hmm." Emily probed, "Shall we head back for today?" Eva didn't say anything. Emily held her hand firmly. "Let's go." "All right." Eva felt as if she were in a haze, in need of someone to push her forward towards any decision. She got up and left with Emily. As they passed by a corner, Eva heard an argument. "But Mom, I like him." The girl sounded heartbroken. "Shut up." The response was a woman's angry and harsh voice. "Nonsense. What have I taught you? You're being deceived, understand? Mom. You're not allowed to see him again. A pauper like him isn't worthy of you. If this gets out, you'll never find a quality match, understand?" Under the woman's threats, the girl hung her head, her bangs covering her eyes. Eva glanced at them before quickly averting her gaze. Emily sighed at the entrance of the clinic. The girl seems underage. She's so foolish. Eva didn't say anything. Then her phone vibrated. Emily quickly leaned in. "Is that a call from Adrian? Is he regretting it?" However, the screen displayed an unfamiliar number. Emily asked, "Who is it?" Eva had a guess upon seeing the unfamiliar number. She hesitated for a few seconds before answering. "Is this Eva?" asked a slightly harsh voice. Eva didn't recognize the voice. "Who are you?" "This is a friend of Vivian. I've learned about something, and I'd like to meet you. I'll send the address via text later." After a brief pause and a chuckle, the voice added, "You'll come, won't you?" Before Eva could answer, the call ended. The speaker wasn't on, and Emily asked curiously as soon as Eva hung up, "Who was it? What did they say?" There was no need to hide anything from Emily. After a moment of silence, Eva said, "A friend of Vivian." Emily froze, then clenched her teeth in anger. "What does her friend want with you?" "She said she knows something and wants to meet." No sooner had Eva spoken than her phone pinged with a text. The caller sent an address to a cafe in the city center. Emily furrowed her brows. What does she know? Could it be? She then looked at Eva in shock. Vivian's friend knows about it too. It seems so, Eva replied. Emily cursed, infuriated, how does Vivian know? Did Adrian tell her? Damn bastard. He's decided to give up the child, so why spread the word? Is he allowing Vivian to mock you? How could he be so awful? Hearing Emily's scolding, Eva instinctively wanted to defend Adrian, but the words died on her lips. The truth was right before her eyes. Eva lowered her gaze and remained silent. Emily had already made the decision for her. Don't go. If they want to see you, let them come to you. Why should you go just because they call and give you an address? Seeing how furious Emily was, Eva tried to comfort her. I wasn't planning on going. Don't be angry. I'm not just angry. I'm worried about you, Emily said with resentment. Then, she narrowed her eyes. Vivian getting her friend to contact you means she's desperate. She must be afraid you won't abort the child and will compete with her for Adrian. It seems she's not so confident in herself after all. Eva pocketed her phone and ignored the message. She wouldn't go to the meeting. It was between her and Adrian, irrelevant to anyone else. After parting with Emily, Eva returned home. She had a long vacation, so she planned to spend the next few days clarifying her thoughts and figuring out what she really wanted. At a cafe in the city center, Vivian picked up her coffee cup, intending to take a sip, but then hurriedly put it back down and looked at her friend across the table. She'll come, right? Her friend scoffed, unless she doesn't want to resolve this matter. She must be scared. Let's just wait here calmly. When she's about to arrive, you go hide inside and don't show yourself for now. Vivian bit her lip. What are you going to talk to her? She probably didn't want this. Be gentle when you speak with her. If she wants compensation, I can. Her friend stared at her in disbelief. Vivian, don't be too kind, all right? What do you mean she didn't want this? Could she have gotten pregnant if she didn't want to? She must have seduced Adrian. You better not underestimate her. Vivian sighed. I know you mean well for me, but her family went bankrupt. If she needs money, I'll give it to her. She's helped Adrian a lot over the past 2 years. Another friend chimed in, Vivian, you're just too kind. That BCH knows Adrian is yours but ended up pregnant. She's obviously trying to climb the ladder. We warned her last time. Exactly. When she arrives, we must warn her again. They waited nearly half an hour, but Eva didn't show up. I can't believe that BCH didn't come. Call her and ask what she wants. Vivian's fingers curled slightly. Chapter 23. Vivian had been feeling uneasy ever since the day she deleted that message from Adrian's phone. She had a feeling that since Eva had messaged Adrian, she probably didn't have the courage to tell him face to face. But that didn't ease her worries. She planned to meet Adrian that very day. However, Adrian worked late and couldn't make it. Vivian stayed with him at work till he finished and even dragged him to a gathering with friends. He went, got drunk, and ended up unconscious. During that time, she even called Eva, who hung up in a state of distress. Vivian was pleased. Eva's reaction indicated that she was starting to lose hope. All Vivian had to do was hint that Adrian wanted her to get an abortion and that they would compensate her. But Vivian couldn't say it herself, fearing that Adrian would find out and blame her. So, she mentioned it to her friends and had them confront Eva on her behalf. As expected, her friends agreed. But Eva didn't show up. What is she up to? Is she planning to use the child to threaten Adrian? Vivian wondered. She didn't think the child could change anything, but there was always the fear of the unknown, and she had to deal with it promptly. With this in mind, Vivian suggested, if she's unwilling to come, we could go to her. Go to her? After what she's done. Exactly, Vivian. That BCH should come to us. Vivian forced a smile. But we need to resolve this. Seeing her wry smile, her friends relented. All right then, let's go to her. Back at home, Eva locked herself in her room. Adrian was at work, so she was alone. After a while, her phone rang. Eva glanced at it. It was the girl who had called her earlier. She stared silently at the ringing phone. A few seconds later, She hung up and blocked the number. What did Vivian's friends have to do with this? Eva had no desire to waste time on them. What occupied her mind was Paula's fragile form in the clinic. Despite being so frail, she seemed to possess infinite strength, daring to confront her critical mother and declare her love. She seemed so sure of what she wanted and liked. Eva instinctively touched her belly. Though the fetus was tiny and she couldn't feel anything yet, she knew she was happy and wanted to share the news with Adrian when she first heard. In the examination room, a brief pain flashed through her heart, signaling that she was looking forward to the child. Why abort, then? She could raise it on her own. If it had been 2 years earlier, even supporting herself would have been a struggle, but now she was fully capable of taking care of a child. But she didn't want the child to grow up in a single-parent family anyway. Eva sighed deeply. The phone rang again. This time it was another unfamiliar number. It must be one of Vivian's friends. As Eva was about to hang up, something made her answer. Silence filled both ends before she finally heard Vivian's voice. Eva, it's Vivian. So, her friends failed, and now she had to deal with it herself? Eva smirked, Can we meet? Vivian rushed as if afraid of refusal. Give me your address. I'll come to you. Eva pondered for a moment. I'm at home. After a pause, Vivian asked, what do you mean? You can come over. Vivian fell silent. Eva shrugged. I'm tired. I don't want to go out. After a while, Vivian replied, all right, I'll come to you. After hanging up, Eva made her decision. She would keep the child. There could only be one purpose for Vivian's visit. Within 15 minutes, a maid told Eva that Vivian had arrived. Eva took a shawl and went downstairs. Ms. Morrison, here's your coffee. A maid handed Vivian her coffee. Vivian thanked her before looking up to see Eva coming down the stairs. Eva looked thinner. The pure white shawl over her light blue dress added a poetic touch. Her makeup-free face looked almost transparent, her lips pale with a hint of pink, creating a certain sickly beauty. Vivian's fingers clenched at the sight. She couldn't let such a person stay by Adrian's side. Vivian was brought back to reality by the maid's voice. The maid offered Eva a cup of hot chocolate with a smile. Madam, the hot chocolate tastes good, and it's just the right temperature. Eva took a sip and praised, really nice. Thank you for the compliment, madam. I'll be off then. Go ahead. Delighted by Eva's praise, the maid left with the tray, paying no more attention to Vivian. Observing the seating arrangement and Eva's attire, Vivian had a moment of realization. To everyone here, Eva was Mrs. Blackwood. These things should have been hers, but now, they belonged to Eva. Vivian's face showed clear discomfort. If she hadn't gone abroad, she would be the one being called Mrs. Blackwood now. Vivian forced a smile. The servants here respect you a lot. Eva looked at her strangely and nodded. They are all very good people. The servants, apart from a few selected by George, were mostly picked by Eva herself. Vivian's smile grew even more strained. Then I should thank you. Thank me. Yes, for training the servants so well, making it easier for me in the future. Hearing this, Eva paused and raised an eyebrow subtly. Chapter 24. Eva had always perceived Vivian as gentle and charming because she always appeared gracious in public. But since her return to the United States, she had mentioned this twice. On the surface, it seemed like gratitude, but in reality, it was an assertion of ownership, which Vivian didn't actually possess. If Vivian and Adrian were in a romantic relationship, her remarks might have been justified. But since they were never a couple, Eva was puzzled by Vivian's current stance. Moreover, if they had been in a relationship, Eva wouldn't have agreed to a fake marriage with Adrian. Nonetheless, Vivian had offered her help. Eva suppressed her discomfort, offered a slight smile, and remained silent. Her lack of visible reaction and passive demeanor frustrated Vivian. Vivian knew she couldn't delay any longer and suggested with a smile, "Shall we talk in the small garden?" Eva's complete disregard for her friends had unsettled Vivian, so she lowered her voice, "It's too crowded here, not a good place for conversation." Eva nodded. "All right." She stood up and headed outside. Eva didn't want to talk to Vivian, but in this world, perhaps nothing was more challenging to repay than kindness. In the small garden, Eva led Vivian to a secluded and quiet spot. Vivian relaxed, sensing that it was safe to speak here. However, she still had some concerns. "Nobody's eavesdropping, right?" Eva paused, then shook her head. "The servants rarely come here, and the gardener usually comes in the morning for watering and pruning." It was almost noon. "Good," Vivian let out a sigh of relief and kindly smiled at Eva. She then took an envelope out of her pocket and handed it to Eva. "This is for you." Eva glanced at the envelope but didn't take it. Seeing her pause, Vivian walked up and placed the envelope in her hand. It was thin. Eva knew what was inside. She held the envelope and gave a wry smile, her heart sinking. "What does this mean?" Vivian cleared her throat awkwardly. "Eva, you're so clever. You must understand." Eva bit her lip. "If you don't say it explicitly, I might not really understand what it means." Vivian's face darkened. She didn't want to discuss Eva's pregnancy as Adrian was still unaware. She came to Eva to solve this issue, but she could only imply without being too explicit. What if Eva had a recording device with her, recorded their conversation, and gave it to Adrian? It would ruin her crafted image. This wouldn't work. Prior to their meeting, Vivian believed Eva would be easy to deal with. Now, her perspective shifted. If Eva were easy to deal with, how could she be pregnant? Vivian opened the envelope, revealing a check for $5 million. A $5 million check was presented before them. She explained softly, "You've worked hard and helped Adrian a lot these past years. He's praised your competence and resilience. You must have gone through a lot since your family went bankrupt. It's the least we could do. Use it to pamper yourself and take care of your health." Vivian tightened her grip on Eva's wrist and even rubbed her palm. Eva looked up and met Vivian's gaze. Vivian let out a sigh and even patted her shoulder as if expressing regret. Eva suddenly felt a lump in her throat. Yesterday in the office, Adrian also advised rest for her health. It was an indirect consideration for her dignity. Eva's lips slightly parted. "What should I say? Should she thank them for caring about her health and offering a vacation, money, and well wishes? Rejecting their gesture would seem ungrateful." Eva found it absurd. She wrestled with her decisions alone while they plotted her future. Vivian, sensing Eva's sorrow turned to anger, attempted to speak, only to see Eva pushing the check back. "Eva. She didn't want the money. Why?" Vivian became flustered. "You think it's too little? This is all I can offer right now, but I can." "No need," Eva interrupted, dismissing the offer. "I don't want the money." Vivian stood frozen. "Not the money. What does she want then?" "Adrian." Vivian couldn't help but think about this possibility. A flash of fierceness crossed her eyes. Her friends were right. Having been Mrs. Blackwood for so long, Eva refused to relinquish her position. Eva nodded firmly. "I don't want the money." Before meeting Vivian, Eva had already made up her mind. She would keep the child and raise it on her own. The child would have ties to her alone. So, how could she possibly take Vivian's money? Even if Adrian were to give her money now, she wouldn't take it. What if he tried to take the child away from her? What if Vivian couldn't accept the child? For Eva, neither Vivian's nor Adrian's financial support held any value. Chapter 25. Vivian was taken aback upon hearing Eva didn't want the money. She could tell that Adrian's attitude towards Eva had changed. Adrian didn't know about Eva's pregnancy yet, but if he found out, Vivian wasn't even sure what choice Adrian would make. She even had a gut feeling that if Adrian found out about Eva's pregnancy, he wouldn't let her go easily. Thus, Vivian could only manage a forced smile in front of Eva. "Eva, are you worried about what others might say? You shouldn't be. This money is from my personal funds, and nobody else knows about it. I'm just looking out for you." "Ms. Morrison," Eva sighed. "Thank you for your concern. My family may be bankrupt, but I've been working hard these past years. I can support myself and the—" She paused and a faint smile formed at the corner of her lips. "You've helped me a lot. I can't take your money. It's fine. I'm giving it voluntarily. Ms. Morrison, please take it back." Eva handed the envelope back to Vivian and took a step back to keep a distance. Vivian suddenly realized from Eva's words and actions what she meant. She intended to keep the child. The color drained from Vivian's face in an instant. She struggled to maintain her smile, but her eyes turned cold. "Are you serious about this?" Eva stared into her eyes. Vivian's reaction wouldn't affect her decision. She pressed her lips together and nodded. "Yes, I'm sorry, but I had made up my mind before you came." Vivian couldn't help but scoff. "Why? I don't see the point." Eva was slightly taken aback by the scoff, but she quickly composed herself. It was understandable for Vivian to be upset. "Perhaps you don't see any significance, but it's my body, and the decision is mine to make. You—" Vivian, lost for words, stepped forward to grasp Eva's shoulders. "Maybe you should think it over, Eva. I'm not doubting you or targeting you, but you must understand the consequences of your decision." "I've thought it through," Eva responded firmly. Vivian loosened her grip. With a sense of defeat, she lowered her gaze and left the small garden in haste. Eva glanced at the envelope that had fallen to the ground and picked it up with a wry smile. Back in the living room, she was informed of Vivian's departure. She resolved not to take the money. Since Vivian hadn't taken it back, she would give the check to Adrian for him to deal with it. Ascending the upstairs to her room, Eva chuckled softly. She felt a sense of relief as if a long-standing dilemma had finally found resolution. This newfound peace started after her decision to keep the child. Eva touched her belly with a faint smile. She was about to have another loved one in this world. "Baby, Mommy will take good care of you," she muttered. That evening, as Eva packed her belongings and wondered if Adrian would come back, she heard the sound of the gate opening. She walked to the window and glanced outside. A beam of car headlights illuminated the gate. Eva's heart skipped a beat. It was Adrian's car. It was the perfect opportunity to have a clear conversation with him. After making her decision, Eva continued packing. Her belongings weren't many since she wasn't fond of shopping, so she initially thought it would be soon. However, over the past 2 years, her life and habits had subtly merged into every corner of this room. The wardrobe, the bed, the dressing table, the bathroom sink, and even the various small items on the coffee table, as well as the ornaments on the shelves. Therefore, she ended up merely packing her clothes and daily necessities. The sound of the door being unlocked halted her movements, followed by steady footsteps. Eva stood still. Adrian had done a lot for her, and she might never be able to repay his kindness in this lifetime, so she couldn't resent him. But the implications from him and Vivian were still humiliating. The footsteps drew closer but suddenly stopped. Eva took a deep breath, suppressing her emotions. She had to face the situation. Adrian, frowning at the scene before him, almost thought he had entered the wrong room. Two light-colored suitcases were beside the bed. One was packed, and the other nearly so. Eva's clothes in the wardrobe were half gone. For a moment, Adrian wondered if Eva was packing for her vacation. But did she really need so many clothes for a vacation? What are you doing? Eva, who had been facing away, handed him an envelope from the wardrobe. Adrian didn't take it. Instead, he asked, "What is this?" Eva replied calmly, "A check." "A check?" Adrian's gaze sharpened. "What do you mean?" "It contains $30 million from you and $5 million from Ms. Morrison." Adrian questioned, "Why didn't you spend it?" It had been a while since he gave it to her, and she had saved it all. But that wasn't the point. "Why did Vivian give you $5 million? Why?" Eva, too, wanted to ask why he had to tell Vivian about her pregnancy. They had been married for 2 years. Even if he had no feelings for her, why did he have to humiliate her? Eva didn't answer his question. Instead, she said coldly, "I'll move to the guest room upstairs tonight, and I'll leave as soon as Grandma's surgery is over and we sign the divorce agreement." Chapter 26. Eva's words hit Adrian like a hammer. When he came back to his senses, he was met with Eva's mocking and pained gaze. Before he could take a closer look, Eva lowered her head and continued packing, carelessly shoving her clothes into the suitcase without properly folding them. As she turned around, Adrian suddenly grabbed her wrist, and his icy voice reached her ears. "Why are you moving tonight? Are you that eager?" His tone carried a hint of scorn. "Let me guess. Is it because of the lunch you had with Carter today?" Eva lifted her head abruptly, staring at him in disbelief. "You don't need to be sarcastic. You know best what my relationship with Carter is, don't you?" She tried to shake off Adrian's hand. However, Adrian tightened his grip in that instant, preventing her from breaking free. He curled his lip in a sneer. "Did I say something wrong? If he's not the reason, what prompted you to pack your things today?" He let out a derisive laugh. "You've felt trapped for these 2 years, right?" Eva ceased struggling for a moment and stared at him. "Adrian, you're the one who suggested the divorce." Adrian replied expressionlessly, "It's exactly when you want, right? You couldn't wait to dine out with him, and now, you even want to move out of our room." Eva was speechless. If she didn't know about Adrian's feelings for Vivian, she might have thought he was jealous. Otherwise, why would he read so much into a simple lunch? His behavior now was probably provoked by his wounded male ego. After all, they weren't officially divorced yet, and his wife was going to sleep in another room. This triggered his possessiveness. Eva didn't want to argue with a man blinded by possessiveness, lest she start believing his actions stemmed from passion or jealousy. She remained silent and tried once again to free herself from his grip. Her silence made Adrian grit his teeth. "Why don't you talk? Did I hit the nail on the head? So you wanted a divorce all along? You never brought it up and waited for me to do it?" Eva couldn't bear it any longer and raised her head. "What do you want to say? Don't you want a divorce?" Adrian paused at her question. His actions today, intertwined with Vivian's money, only hardened Eva's heart, and her words were unkind. "Our marriage was fake to begin with. Don't you remember what you said? You asked me to act along with you and please your grandmother." Adrian's eyes went dim. Once she finished speaking, he mumbled, "So for these 2 years, you've been acting along with me, is that it? Haven't you been acting too?" Eva's retort silenced Adrian. He quietly watched the beautiful woman in front of him. He remembered that on the night he proposed the divorce, she appeared much colder and calmer than now. She didn't show any reluctance, and now, she was about to move out of their room. With this in mind, Adrian slowly loosened his grip. Now free, Eva turned back to packing. Irritable, Adrian loosened his tie and said impatiently, "If you move to the guest room upstairs now, the servants will get suspicious." Eva had thought about this and replied, "It wouldn't hurt if they did." We're going to get a divorce before long.
What about Grandma?
She won't find out.
How do you know?
What if the servants report back to her?
Eva paused. She hadn't considered this.
After a long silence, she said, "Then we'll wait until Grandma has her surgery."
Adrian sneered, "You seem very aggrieved."
Eva replied, "Not at all. I've been living like this for 2 years."
"So you've felt aggrieved for 2 years?"
Eva fell silent. For the first time, she found Adrian to be completely unreasonable and intractable. She turned away, unwilling to continue the conversation. There was no point in arguing with a man blinded by possessiveness. It wouldn't change the outcome.
Adrian watched Eva for a moment, then mocked, "Why the face?
If you don't want to see me, I'll stay away." With that, he turned and strode away. Once Adrian was gone, Eva collapsed onto the bed, feeling utterly deflated. At the sound of the front door closing, she lowered her gaze. After 2 minutes, George arrived in a state of anxiety.
"Madam, why did Mr. Blackwood leave in such a hurry? Did something happen between?"
George stopped talking upon seeing Eva's pale face.
"Madam, are you all right?"
Eva didn't want to take her feelings out on others. She forced a smile at George and said softly, "I'm just a bit tired. Maybe a nap will help." Seeing her in this state left George more worried, but he knew better than to pry further, heaving a sigh instead.
"Please get some rest then."
"All right." Eva nodded and lowered her head again. Before leaving, George spotted the suitcases in the room, which left him shaken.
"What's going on? Why did Mrs. Blackwood pack her luggage?
Is that why Mr. Blackwood stormed out?" he wondered. Suddenly, he thought of Vivian, who had visited Eva in the afternoon. George had been with the Blackwood family for many years and had watched Adrian grow up. He appreciated Vivian for saving Adrian's life, but he never expected Adrian to develop feelings for her. After all, Vivian wasn't the type Adrian would be interested in. But life had its unexpected twists. The Hansen family went bankrupt, and Adrian married Eva. George hoped for a happy union. However, fate had other plans.
Chapter 27. Adrian asked two close friends out for a drink. He guzzled liquor as if it were plain water. John Harrison and Jason Brown looked on in alarm.
"Should we say something?"
John signaled Jason with his eyes.
Jason shrugged.
"Do you think we can actually stop him?"
John frowned solemnly.
"He's had a lot. It's not good for his health."
Jason nodded in agreement.
"Yes." The two of them moved to intervene.
"Enough, Adrian. Stop drinking.
Even if you're drowning sorrows, you've done enough.
You'll pass out soon."
They warned, albeit only verbally, neither daring to physically stop him.
Adrian sneered without saying anything. He had drunk his fill for the night, his eyes rimmed red and his aura darkened.
"What happened?"
Jason squinted his eyes.
"Vivian's back.
Why isn't he rushing off to be with her instead of getting smashed here?"
John figured it out after a brief contemplation.
"I think it's probably because Vivian's back that this is happening."
Jason didn't understand at first, but then he grasped the twisted logic. He stared in realization.
"You mean?"
John nodded.
Jason frowned.
"Makes sense.
Vivian's return means Adrian has to divorce Eva. They've been together for so long. He must be struggling to let go." While they were discussing, Adrian turned his head sharply, his piercing gaze landing on Jason.
Jason felt a chill down his spine and stuttered, "What's wrong?"
Adrian squinted at him fiercely.
"Who's struggling to let go?"
Jason paused for a moment, then pointed to John.
"I was talking about him.
He can't let go of his girlfriend."
With that, Jason poured Adrian another drink.
"You better just drink quietly. Don't interrupt our conversation."
Normally, Jason wouldn't dare to act like this, but a drunk Adrian was easier to fool than when sober. Although Adrian's gaze was fierce, Jason could tell that he was drunk. However, Adrian wasn't as easily fooled tonight as Jason thought.
How dare you command me?
Jason panicked.
I didn't command you.
You wanted to drink.
I was just pouring for you.
Did I say something wrong?
Adrian glanced at the filled glass in front of him, pressed his lips together with displeasure, and raised the glass to drink again.
John couldn't help but reach out his hand.
Stop drinking.
Let's just confront the issue.
Drinking won't help.
Adrian paused and turned to look at John, his gaze icy. Even as a close friend, John faced difficulty enduring Adrian's anger. He was about to retract his hand when Adrian suddenly collapsed onto the table with a loud thud.
Jason exclaimed, "Is he drunk?"
"No way."
Adrian lay motionless, seemingly asleep.
"Seems like it," John said.
"I thought he was sober.
I was worried his tolerance had heightened, but it turns out to be the same."
Taking advantage of the situation, Jason played a prank to get back at Adrian for the earlier scare.
John warned, "If you don't want to be killed once he wakes up, you better stop."
Jason quickly stopped.
"What do we do now?"
"Take him home."
Jason, with a glint in his eyes, rifled through Adrian's pockets for his phone.
"We never got to handle his phone when he was sober.
Let's see if he has any secrets or chats with Vivian."
To Jason, Vivian was a goddess of beauty, but knowing her subtle connection with Adrian, he had always restrained himself. He was about to sneak a peek at their messages when a large hand blocked the phone's screen.
Jason looked up and saw John's serious expression.
"It's private," John warned.
Jason cowered.
"I know.
I was just joking.
Give me the phone."
Reluctantly, Jason handed the phone to John.
"What are you going to do?"
"Call his family."
John went through the contacts.
"His family?"
"Who?"
"Eva."
Upon hearing this, Jason furrowed his brows in disagreement. "Why call Eva?"
"Call Vivian.
She's the one who can reason with Adrian."
"Is that so?"
John casually asked.
"We'll see."
Jason watched as John dialed Eva's number.
"What are you doing?"
"You know Adrian."
The sound from the phone made Jason shut his mouth. He didn't understand what John was thinking.
Between Eva and Vivian, he seemed to always favor Eva.
He should have called Vivian, but he ended up calling Eva.
The phone rang for a long time.
Jason muttered impatiently, "Maybe she's asleep?
It's late."
Just as he finished, the call was answered, but no one spoke.
John understood.
Given Adrian had gone out to drink, it was likely he had a falling out with Eva, so of course she wouldn't be the first to speak when answering the phone.
He cleared his throat.
"Hello, this is John."
Eva sounded surprised.
"John."
John glanced at the unconscious Adrian and said softly, "Adrian is drunk, and I had to use his phone to contact you."
Chapter 28. Eva changed into her pajamas, ready to lie down for the night. Despite her bad mood, she couldn't let it disrupt her normal routine. Since she had decided to keep the child, she needed to take good care of herself from now on. Even if she couldn't sleep, she had to lie in bed and rest.
Her phone suddenly rang.
It was a call from Adrian. Seeing the name displayed on the phone screen evoked complex feelings in Eva. After their heated argument in the evening, Eva suspected Adrian had gone to see Vivian. She didn't expect him to call her. She considered answering, but then she remembered the call he had asked Vivian to make earlier. Perhaps it was Vivian again. Eva didn't really feel like answering. But the phone kept ringing, and she eventually picked up, only to hear an unfamiliar male voice. After wrestling with her thoughts for a few seconds, Eva finally got out of bed, changed out of her pajamas, and headed outside. The temperature outside was very low.
Stepping out, Eva instinctively shivered. Since it was late and everyone was asleep, Eva didn't bother calling the driver and simply took the car keys to the garage instead. As she drove off, John's words echoed in her ears. Adrian didn't look well. You better come over if possible. Why didn't he look well? Was it because of possessiveness? It was hard for Eva to imagine Adrian turning to alcohol. Worse still, she let her mind wander. Is Adrian behaving so strangely because he's jealous? No, he cares for Vivian. How could he be jealous? He must feel his male ego is challenged, Eva thought. A beam of light suddenly caught her attention. Eva quickly maneuvered the car to stop by the roadside. She leaned on the steering wheel, catching her breath from the near miss. That was close. If she hadn't reacted in time, there might have been a collision. Eva took a deep breath and resumed her drive. She no longer allowed herself to be distracted with thoughts and soon reached the bar John had mentioned. Despite the late hour, the bar was bustling with people, couples intertwined. Unable to park outside due to restrictions, Eva had to search for a parking space. As she approached the entrance, she suddenly saw a familiar figure sprinting from across the street. It was Vivian. Vivian didn't notice her and hurriedly ran into the bar with her bag. It was obvious why she was here. Eva felt like a bit of an idiot, but she found herself unable to move, frozen in place. It took what seemed like ages before familiar figures finally emerged from the bar. Seeing them, Eva instinctively hid in the shadows. What happened? Why did he drink so much? Jason, why didn't you stop him? Vivian and Jason assisted Adrian out, with John following calmly. Jason explained, I tried, but you know he never listens to us. If you had been there, maybe he'd listen to you. Vivian sighed. How could he let himself end up like this? Together, they managed to get Adrian into the car. From the shadows, Eva watched quietly. As if sensing something, Adrian abruptly grasped Vivian's wrist, muttering, Don't. Don't go. Vivian paused, then reassuringly patted his shoulder, I'm not going anywhere. Be good. Unable to bear the sight, Eva clenched her teeth, regretting her decision to come here. She shouldn't have answered the call. She should have been sleeping in her bed instead of subjecting herself to such humiliation. Why had she allowed herself to get emotionally trampled like this, as if her heart needed to be crushed thoroughly before she could give up? With a blank expression, Eva turned to leave. She missed seeing Adrian suddenly release Vivian's hand with a forceful push. Vivian stumbled, nearly falling, but Jason quickly caught her. Vivian, are you okay? Vivian was completely dumbfounded. Adrian pushed her. Was it an unconscious act or deliberate? Regaining her footing, Vivian turned back to see Adrian with his eyes tightly shut, his furrowed brow showing his discomfort. Most importantly, he reeked of alcohol. Though embarrassed in front of the two men and appearing somewhat disheveled, she brushed back her hair and forced a smile. He must have been really drunk to do that. Her statement barely finished when Adrian grumbled, John, take me home. All three of them fell silent for a moment. Thinking Adrian had rejected her touch due to his drunken state, Vivian could no longer hide her embarrassment. Jason whispered reassuringly, Vivian, don't overthink it. Adrian just drank too much and didn't recognize you, but he definitely remembers you. Adrian frowned. John. John approached and said to Jason, leave him to me. You take Vivian home. Jason hesitated, he's drunk. Can you handle him alone? Before John could reply, Vivian interjected, take him to my place. Both men paused and turned to look at her. Vivian offered a smile. He can't be left alone like this. Take him to my place, and I'll take care of him. Chapter 29. Jason immediately nodded. You're right. We can't leave him alone like this. Let's take him to my place,
John interjected calmly.
You heard him earlier.
He called out my name.
If I fail to keep my promise, he might cause trouble when he wakes up.
John had been friends with Adrian for many years, knowing him far longer than Jason and Vivian. With his calm demeanor and typically concise speech, he was mostly silent. But once he spoke, it was hard to refuse him.
Vivian observed John.
She couldn't fathom why, but she felt that he might not hold her in high regard. But John was good friends with Adrian. Perhaps it was just her imagination.
Jason defended Vivian, Adrian's completely drunk. He might not even remember what he said tomorrow.
John, why take it so seriously?
Then he turned to Vivian with a smile.
Nobody can take care of Adrian as well as Vivian.
Let's just take Adrian to her place.
John stared at Jason firmly.
I said take him to my place.
If you're worried, you're welcome to stay and take care of him.
John.
Jason started.
Jason, let's just follow John's suggestion and take Adrian to his place, Vivian interrupted Jason with a smile.
He'd be a better caretaker for Adrian than me.
She gave John a friendly smile, though, internally, she was anything but happy.
John was one of Adrian's close friends, and she didn't want to offend him.
They eventually took Adrian to John's home.
John suggested, it's inappropriate for a young lady to stay with three men late at night.
Jason, why don't you take her home?
Jason was confused.
But didn't you say we could stay and take care of?
Vivian interjected, let's go, Jason.
John is right.
It's not proper for me to stay.
Jason scratched his head and without further words, he took Vivian home.
By the time he returned, it was nearly 2 a.m.
Jason collapsed onto the couch and asked John as he came out, how's Adrian doing?
Is he okay?
John took a bottle of water from the fridge and took a sip.
He's been sleeping the whole time.
He's fine.
That's good to hear.
Jason breathed a sigh of relief.
But soon, he mentioned with a grimace, John, I don't understand you.
You know Vivian and Adrian like each other.
Why didn't you let Vivian take him to her place?
John gave him a glance.
Why should we send a married man to a single woman's home?
So what?
Adrian and Eva were never a real couple.
John raised an eyebrow, how do you know?
Jason scoffed, isn't it obvious?
You told her Adrian was drunk and suggested she come over, but she didn't even show up.
John lowered his eyes.
Eva didn't sound like she was unwilling to come.
What happened?
Actually, while Jason was taking Vivian home, John called Eva, but she answered in a cold voice, what's the matter?
John, surprised by the change in her attitude, asked, you came, right?
Did you see?
After a pause, Eva replied, I didn't go out.
Please take care of him.
Then she quickly hung up the phone.
At first, John thought Eva to be heartless, but he reconsidered her words.
If she hadn't gone out, her immediate response to his question would have been, see what?
Instead of silence.
John snapped back to reality and heard Jason still complaining.
That heartless woman is nothing compared to Vivian.
Vivian almost risked her life to save Adrian.
She still bears scars on her hand.
If I were Adrian, I'd marry her in a heartbeat.
You're conflating gratitude with romantic feelings.
So what?
Vivian is so beautiful.
Any man would be drawn to her.
John couldn't bother to argue further and simply headed back inside.
Waking up the next day, Adrian felt a dull headache.
He looked at the unfamiliar surroundings and sat up.
You awake?
John handed him a glass of water.
Drink this.
It'll help you sober up.
At the sight of John, a hint of disappointment flickered in Adrian's eyes but was quickly replaced by relief.
He finished the water and clenched the glass in his hand, his brow furrowed.
After a while, he looked at John.
What happened last night?
You forgot.
You were drunk,
so Jason and I brought you here.
Adrian frowned, clearly unsatisfied with the answer, but remained silent.
John observed him calmly, wondering how long he could hold out.
As expected, Adrian quickly looked at him and asked tentatively, "And then?"
John feigned confusion.
"And then?"
"Nothing more."
Adrian's eyelids drooped.
John added as if suddenly remembering something, "Oh, right. She came."
"She?"
Adrian's somber eyes brightened.
"Yeah, she offered to take care of you, but you insisted that I bring you here, so I did."
Adrian furrowed his brows.
"Since when were you so obedient?"
"I couldn't send a married man to a single woman's home anyway."
John sighed.
Adrian finally realized that something was amiss.
"Who are you talking about?"
Chapter 30.
"Who do you think I'm talking about?"
John responded with a question.
They locked eyes briefly before John asked, "You're disappointed it wasn't her, huh?"
After a brief moment of silence, Adrian scoffed mockingly,
"Disappointed? About what?
I don't care at all."
John raised an eyebrow.
"Well, then I won't mention it."
And then, he truly remained silent.
Adrian glared at John with evident discontent.
"If you know something, just spill it.
Why beat around the bush?"
John feigned surprise.
"I thought you didn't want to know.
Do you want to hear it?"
Adrian was speechless.
Fed up with the conversation, Adrian abruptly tossed the covers aside, climbed out of bed, and slipped on his shoes, rough and agitated.
Once he had composed himself, the door was pushed open.
Jason walked in and greeted Adrian cheerfully.
He then shared how Vivian had rushed over the previous night and how worried she was about him.
Hearing Vivian's name softened Adrian's face slightly.
"Adrian, Vivian just called asking about you.
She wanted me to let her know once you're up.
She's been worried."
"All right."
Adrian took out his phone to look up the contact but stumbled upon call logs with Eva.
He swallowed and asked in a hoarse voice, "Did you call her, or did she call me?"
"Who?"
Jason subconsciously glanced at the phone screen.
"You mean Eva?
John called her and told her you were drunk."
Upon hearing this, Adrian glanced at John, who shrugged with a smile.
Without Adrian asking, Jason spilled everything.
No insinuations, but Eva was cruel.
John called her, but she didn't even show up.
I informed Vivian, and she rushed over.
Jason thought Adrian would be happy, but instead, he pressed his lips together with displeasure.
"What's wrong?"
Adrian scoffed,
"Nothing."
Jason scratched his head, somewhat puzzled.
"I got breakfast.
Want some?
Eat without me."
Adrian had lost his appetite to anger caused by Eva.
Upon asking John, Jason got the same response and mumbled before closing the door, "Why's everyone acting so strange this morning?"
Once the room quieted down, Adrian yanked at his already disheveled tie, irritated.
John, watching in silence, finally spoke after a while.
"Though it's just a guess, I still want to clear her name."
Adrian looked at him.
"Who?"
"Eva.
She didn't show up last night, but something felt off when I called her later," John explained calmly.
John recounted last night's events to Adrian, who listened in silence.
"Maybe she did come but happened to encounter us and Vivian outside the bar, so she chose not to show up," John continued.
His words struck a chord with Adrian.
His eyes narrowed slightly, and after a pause, he denied it.
"That's impossible."
John raised an eyebrow.
"Why?
Why should she avoid Vivian?"
Adrian scoffed.
"She simply didn't want to see me."
John fell silent, pressing his lips together as if in thought.
The two of them remained silent for a while.
Suddenly, Adrian's phone rang.
It was Vivian calling.
Before Adrian stepped out to answer the call, John sighed.
"You still haven't figured out what you want, huh?"
Adrian turned back, only to find John already out the door. He stood in place, staring at the ringing phone in his hand.
So, have you really made up your mind?
Emily, who was worried about Eva yesterday, was surprised by the welcome news today.
Yes.
Eva nodded with a smile. Previously, her uncertain future looked bleak, but once she made a decision, everything appeared clear, her next steps and her long-term plans. She was moving toward her goal.
That's great.
Emily beamed, grasping Eva's hand.
Eva, I'm really happy for you.
Have you thought of a name for the child?
Eva chuckled.
It's too early for names.
Not at all.
If you think of a name now, you can use it when the baby is born.
Also, if you're raising the child, you'll have to buy a house for yourself, right?
I plan to buy a house after the divorce, but I have to talk to my family.
They are all abroad.
If they're supportive, I'll live with them.
If not,
she had considered it.
If her family couldn't accept it, she would move to a city without Adrian, buy a new house, and raise the child on her own.
She had never imagined being a mother as she felt she hadn't really grown up.
But now, she had started to picture life with her child.
Boy or girl, each would require different approaches, and she needed to prepare by reading up.
Don't worry.
Mr. Hansen adores you.
He'll surely agree.
Raising a child can be quite joyful, don't you think?